Hello and welcome to BA Brew. I'm Mike.
I'm Lynn.
And I'm Debbie.
And today we're talking about the new edition of the Agile and Business Analysis book. So Lynn, what can readers expect from the second edition of this book?
Ah, well, there's a good question. It's funny because the first edition was written in 2015, I believe. And, you know, Agile was, you know, Agile and the role of business analysis in Agile was still quite young. In some ways, lots of change. Lots of things has changed, but lots of things haven't changed as well. So when we looked at the second edition, it wasn't one thing that we added in. It wasn't one specific thing. It was lots and lots of things that were through all of the chapters. And I'm sure Debbie will pick up on a few of the things I haven't mentioned. But in particular, there's a big section now on business agility. I think this is something that's really, really important and something that we've brought out in the book and how it relates to the role of business analysis. I think we've covered more on things like complex adaptive systems and including Kinefin and the sense making into the book as well and how that relates to it. I think there's more information now on how Agile impacts business analysts in their roles. Way more examples in there as well in terms of goal decomposition, how we can use goals in business agility context, how we can be agile in terms of modeling the business context and understanding the business context was quite a big section that did a major overhaul. Even in some of the elicitation techniques, we've now included things like definition of done and definition of ready and the business analyst role in writing those. Lots more on the PO role and how I think that's settled down a lot now since the first edition, but the difference between the BA role and the PO role and where there's overlap between them. We've included a lot more on customer experience and user experience, roles versus personas. That wasn't included in the first one. So there's a lot more in it. And I think one of the biggest chapters that we changed was actually a completely new chapter, which is the last chapter, where we've actually talked about adopting Agile. And in there, we've got some of our business analyst experts to come and talk and provided us with case studies, which I think really brings Agile and business analysis to life because it provides those real world examples that weren't really there when we wrote the first edition. And I think it will really help people see how it relates to them and their practices as well as bringing in some of the future of business analysis through AI and what that might hold for BA futures as well. Is there anything I've missed there, Debbie? It was quite a lot that we added in, wasn't it?
It was. And I think the other thing really is, as you said, we went through every single chapter. We added in all the things that Lynn's talked about, but we also sort of enhanced some of the things that were already there. We rephrased some things to clarify. So we literally rewrote the book. Yeah. So although the table of contents looks similar, we have changed some of the chapters, as Lynn said, particularly around the business context and then around the Agile adoption. But we did go through every single chapter with a fine-tooth comb to make sure that it was exactly as we wanted it. So you would read it now and, you know, a lot of the terminology, a lot of the language, a lot of the description is quite different.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing a copy of it myself. So a bit of a hint there.
Yeah, it's on its way to you, Mike.
Whether it's signed or not, I'm looking forward to seeing that. On the Agile Business Analysis courses I do, it sounds like there's some of the questions that often come up might be answered in that new edition, which is really good. So some of that stuff around the adoption, I think it's always good to have examples. So giving people some practical experience that people have had with some real sort of solid examples. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. I think that would be really useful. So Debbie, what's changed over the years since that first edition? What things do you think have happened in the marketplace?
With regard to the BA role?
With the BA role, Agile, and Agile application.
Yeah. I think it comes back to something Lynn actually referred to just then, which is, you know, when we wrote the first edition, the manifesto had been out for over a decade, but the adoption and the practical experience of actually trying to use agile approaches and methods, it was still quite immature in a lot of organizations. So I think where we are now, there's a lot of people out there, and there are a lot of business analysts that Lynn and I speak to who've been there and done it and learnt some, you know, tricky lessons sometimes. So I think what's changed is that level of maturity. There's, you know, back in 2015, there was a lot of people saying things like, well, we have to follow this particular method. And you had people saying things like, well, we have to do this because Scrum says so, or something like that. I think we've moved way beyond that now. And now we're at a point where people are able to say, you know, that may be the way it's explained and expressed in a particular approach or method, but we know in this context, it works better to do it this way. So I think that understanding of tailoring to context while still adhering to some of the core principles has really come to the fore. And I think business analysis fits in with that really, really well, because of course we know about context. You know, that's what we do, is understand the context for things. And so therefore we can actually start to really play a much more important role. And I think that has happened a lot over the last few years, because we've been able to bring that understanding and then make sure that when Agile is applied, it's applied in an informed and relevant way. I don't know what you think, Lynn, but that's my sort of feeling about it.
I totally agree. And I think we've moved on a lot as well. I think, you know, when we wrote the first edition, there was a lot of discussion about whether business analysis was actually relevant in Agile, because a lot of agility at that time was focusing on Agile development teams. And I think as we've evolved our understanding of Agile over the years, of that argument about whether a BA and PO are the same role and all that has gone away, because people realise that understanding the context is still as important as it ever was, and probably even more so important now than it was when the Agile Manifesto was first, you know, introduced. So, yeah, I think it's definitely evolved, and it's continuing to evolve as well.
I think it's interesting that the idea of following a method and doing that, because that's what the method said, is that the recipe book approach, which might be good to get started, but it's not really empowering the team, is it? And as that's something we really want to do with Agile, then that would be a shame to just stick to that recipe book, which isn't without its challenges, because that can make it a bit confusing for people to work out what they're supposed to be doing. Once the team's working effectively, then that's fine then, isn't it? So organizational agility, what tell us a bit more about organizational agility, Lynn.
Well, I think this is Debbie. Sorry.
Debbie, sorry.
He said Lynn and I was passing it over to Debbie.
Oh, okay. So seamless transition there over to Debbie to talk about organizational agility.
Well, no, as I say, I'll get my soapbox now, because I think the essence of agility can certainly build on and apply some of the Agile principles. Okay. But I also think that we've developed maturity in our understanding of that. I mean, let's take an obvious example, which is the need for organizations to demonstrate and live agility throughout the pandemic. You know, so since we wrote the initial book, we've actually gone through this massive period of change for so many organizations. So agility is about having the ability to understand what is happening and adapt and respond at pace. And that can only happen under certain circumstances. So whilst the Agile principles can help that, because it actually encourages you to collaborate, to allow things to evolve, you know, to eat the elephant in chunks, as I always say, by having an incremental approach where possible, what agility needs is more than that. So it's almost like a wrapper around Agile in some ways. Because agility, first and foremost, needs leadership. You know, in an organization, you're going to really struggle to have agility if everything is about control, if everything is about people in higher levels of the hierarchy determining what happened and having to be asked for permission. That just builds in delay. So, you know, you've got to have leadership that are prepared for people to actually take decisions and to work in an adaptable way. You've also got to therefore encourage and embed a culture where people have a growth mindset, where their mindset actually looks at what's happening, seeks out opportunities, and actually tries to work with where we are rather than digging their heels in and thinking it'll all come back to how it was, because as we all know, that very rarely happens. But I also think that one of the things that's emerged a lot over the last few years has been business architecture. And the business architecture approach helps us to understand the capability in the organization. And to me, it's amazing how when you're faced with a situation that you really need to respond to, quite often there's a lot of capability in the organization you can leverage that can help to do that. And this sort of comes back to the mindset as well, because this is where you want people who can say, you know, we've got that, we can apply it in this situation, and that can take us forward quite quickly, or it can resolve a complaint or a change that we need to address or something like that. And then the final aspect for me is the organization and the people within it having a culture where they understand and focus on their customer and the outcomes they want for customers. You know, you do see organizations where the focus is incredibly internal. And I always think those organizations have no hope with agility, because actually, if everything is focused on, well, how is this going to work to make us as an organization work better or cheaper or whatever, you can lose that focus on the customer. And that really is a bit of hiding to nothing. So that's my take on agility. And I just think you've got to have that built-in leadership, momentum, growth mindset, understanding the architecture to leverage, and making sure your focus is on the customer. There you go. Long answer, but, yeah. You know, anything to add, Lynn?
Yeah, Lynn, I'll just pass that one over to Debbie, because and Debbie's coming here. So with that particular, sort of all of those elements and that the architecture elements, how can the VA role really support that and help a business achieve that, Lynn? And hopefully, Lynn, you're happy to answer that one.
Well, I think it follows on from what, I mean, Debbie's cued me beautifully here. The role of business analysis in business agility is absolutely critical. I find myself, and I know a lot of the analysts and BAs that I work with, I find myself working less and less with product development teams and more with business teams and leadership, in helping them understand their value streams, challenging them on who the consumer is for things that we're producing. So less on the solution side of it, more on why are we doing it? You know, who's the customer for this? Why are we doing it? How does that fit in with a particular value stream? What is that value stream? What are the capabilities around this? So business, even though a lot of organizations haven't got their business architecture mapped out, I think they are starting to pull a business architecture together. And I think business analysts are really, really helping in this space and are working more and more in probably in what we used to refer to the strategic space, where I think there was less business analysis. I think there's more business analysis now because it's more critical in that in order to achieve value or to achieve value for the organization and therefore value to the customer. So it's really, really critical that organizations are providing those products and services that consumers are going to get value from. And so business analysis has to happen at that top level. And, you know, leading on from what Deborah was saying, I find myself working more with ways of working. So internal processes and workflows, a lot of them are woefully inefficient. I think organizations realize now that they need efficiency and streamlining in these processes now to achieve that agility for the customer. So it's starting, there's a more of a culture of understanding about efficiency and realizing, I think years ago, even 10 years ago, 15 years ago, probably when we wrote the first edition, process improvement would become a little bit out of fashion, shall we say. I think we always did it, but we were probably doing it more at the system level than we were doing at the strategic level. I think it's become part and parcel now of doing BA work. that they recognise this, the concepts of the lean thinking and those sort of approaches into those values and the efficiency and effectiveness of how information, data and communications flow across the organisation, across those value streams, is actually needs to be embedded in the culture. So I don't think we can move away from business agility now. I think it's here to stay. But I actually think there's more of a role for business analysts to play in there now, in that strategic space, agnostic of technical systems, although there is still a huge role for business analysis in that, you know, the technical solution adoption. I still think there's a, you know, we really need to build out and work with people over the culture. I mean, even going so far as to making sure that we're clear on ways of working, that they include things like the psychological safety that's needed to embrace that leadership change as well, and challenging those. So I think we're pushing business analysis into that space, and also with that coming the more psychological side of change as well that goes with that business analysis role in that space. So I think I may be writing a third edition here of the business analysis book, but we have incorporated a lot of that into the second edition, and that I don't even think that would have been on our radar really when we wrote the first edition, because the first edition was very much focused on how do BAs support agile development teams and how can you be agile in the way you think and behave as a BA, even when you're not, whereas now it's very much in how do you behave and act in an agile way when you're doing strategic business analysis to achieve business agility. And that's quite a big shift, I think, in thinking.
Yeah, and I think on my training courses, I've noticed there's quite a shift in terms of the type of people that are coming, the type of projects they're involved in. Initially, it was a lot more software projects, but now there are people who are working on process change. I've had people who were writing policy and they were working in an agile way to write policy, which sounds, that's a very different thing. One of the common areas that comes up in discussions on those courses is around the linear things that happen in organizations that that get in the way of some of the agile stuff. So procurement is it's coming up time after time that there are a lot of procurement activities seem to work in a very linear fashion. And if we've got third-party teams from a supplier team that's involved in testing, say, of something, how does that work? Are there any elements in the second edition that help people think about how to address some of those linear bits or maybe turn around some of those linear things to make them work in a more agile way?
Well, I don't know if we specifically address that. I think what we've tried to do is give some guidance that helps people to think about, you know, what is it that the organisation wants as outcomes? And, you know, sometimes what are the techniques that you can apply that can help you to get there? But, you know, procurement and areas like that are such difficult areas to deal with for the simple reason that so many organizations work within such rigid regulatory frameworks these days. And so one of the things that we've always tried to do with the book is to be pragmatic. You know, you can't change the world, and you have to live, I'm going to go back to context here, you have to live within your context. So although we'd have encouraged an understanding of things like the architectural elements, an understanding of service, value and outcomes, and also really beefed up the techniques so that people can really see how they can help them, you have to look at context. And this is where, you know, agile adoption, I think, has to be very, very key. And, you know, Lynn mentioned we've got some really nice case studies in the book. Mm-hmm. And I think if you look at those case studies, you'll see a number of them talk about lessons learned. And lessons learned sort of fits into that you have to understand the context you're applying agile into, the work and the contribution that the business analyst can bring. Mm-hmm. But equally, you can't work miracles if you're in a highly regulatory environment, which a lot of organisations are. And procurement and procurement processes usually have to deal with that.
I think we have equipped, the whole point of the book is to equip business analysts to be able to adopt agility in the way that they work. You know, and so even if they're working in an environment where aspects of their environment are not agile, that doesn't prevent them from adopting agile mindset in the way they work. And I think that's really important that we've brought that into the book. So even, you know, we talk about challenges. You know, there's quite a lot in there where we've brought in challenges, not necessarily anti-patterns, but challenges that BAs face in working with offshore teams and things like that, and working remote in remote locations. I mean, that wasn't around when we wrote the first book, because we never had the pandemic there. You know, people were very much working in a face-to-face, and trust was built in that sort of situation. So by bringing in this thinking and this ability to think about the techniques you're using in these different situations, helps them to be able to adapt and adopt the agile thinking regardless of what the environment is. And, you know, the environment includes those static things such as, you know, contracts and procurements and those sorts of environments. We also have a nice model that we use at the end, which is about your system of interest, what you can control and what you can't control. And I think that's always been a really important aspect. While I could control how agile I might be as an individual, and I might be able to influence people around me within my team, there are aspects of the organization that I can't control. And I think it's really important to remind BAs of that. Otherwise, you sort of feel like you're always hitting a brick wall, and it can be very demoralizing for anyone in that situation. So I think it's very much the mantra in the book is be as true to yourself as you can with the agile mindset and the ability to work in an agile way, and it will pay off is really what we want to go with.
Yeah, great. Thank you, Lynn. So any final thoughts, Debbie? I'm going to ask Lynn if she wants him to find as well, but I'm going to give her a chance to think about it. So,
so I don't get a chance to think about it. No. Eh? Thanks, Mike. I think it really was time to overhaul the book. I think when Lynn and I started talking about this new edition, it really was quite interesting because the world had moved on so much, and it really gave us that opportunity to sit back and think, okay, you know, what is going on? And, you know, we both engage with and talk to and work with lots of different people who are using Agile in actually all sorts of different contexts and ways and different techniques. And so I suppose my final thought on it is that I hope we've continued to offer something that is practical, that doesn't go down the theoretical, you know, you must follow every single step of the way of this, but that actually says, you know, here's guidance for you. Use it in your context as it works for you and your organisation. And it should help. And that's all we can hope for, isn't it, Lynn?
Oh, 100%. You know, there is so much in there. And I still see huge problems with agile adoption. You know, I still see people valuing tools over the process, like, you know, the tool is driving the process rather than the other way around. I still see people being confused with what goes into a backlog. What is a backlog? How does that relate to, you know, what we would have referred to as requirements or requirements engineering? How do you relate those things, and how do they fit together? When is it appropriate to use one technique over another technique? You know, where are these techniques ideally utilized? And, you know, we have gone through the book and we have brought in new techniques and new thinking. And I would just say, if you're in doubt about any of those things, you know, and if you want that guidance, as Deborah suggests, and it is guidance rather than a prescriptive approach, then probably the book's for you, because it does have so many things in there, and they're based on experience, not just mine and Deborah's, which between us is quite vast, to be honest, but all of the people that we engage with and communicate with and work with on a daily basis. A lot of that thinking has all gone into there. So hopefully, if you do buy the book and you do read the book, it should be really helpful in your endeavors of working not only in an agile environment, but applying agile thinking in the way you do your business analysis work.
Okay, well, I'm really looking forward to seeing my copy. I think it's going to create some more work for me, which obviously I'll do in an agile way, using as much agility as I can. Thank you, Lynn. Thank you, Debbie. A really useful, engaging discussion today. I want to say a big thank you to our audience. Thank you for joining us today. If you do have any ideas for future BA Brew episodes, then please let us know by emailing babrew@assistkd.com. And do remember to like, share, and subscribe to our channel. Thanks a lot, and bye for now.
Thank you.
Bye.